Please, first of all, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Verse 21. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Verse 35. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense, their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and that there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in which they trusted? Verse 39. See now that I am he. Or as Mr. Darby gives in the margin, see now that I am the same. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. And then lower down in verse 43. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. And then over in 1 Samuel, just one verse in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 6. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. And then in Psalm 102, verse 23, he weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shalt thou change them. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same. And thy years shall have no end. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And then finally in chapter 1. Verse 10. We've read it already in Psalm 102. We'll read it again here. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same. And thy years shall not fail. We are all familiar with the first song in Scripture, in Exodus 15, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. And what occasion they had to sing. Redeemed by blood and by power, they saw all their enemies, Pharaoh and his hosts, dead upon the seashore. They were able to sing of the fact that Jehovah had brought them to his holy habitation, and they were able in faith to look forward and to sing in confidence of the destruction of all their enemies. In Philistia, Moab, Edom, Canaan, they were confident that as God had brought them out, so he would bring them in and plant them in the mountain of his inheritance and bring them to his sanctuary. And we can sing in similar vein can't we? Because we know we have the spiritual realities. All our foes should be defeated. All our journey save completed. And it's just around the corner. How joyful we should be. The ministry has occupied us with Christ, and no subject so glorious as he, no theme so affecting to us. And by that occupation with him, we are strengthened to be for him here in the little time, the very little time that remains to us before he will come for us, and then we will appear with him in glory. How wonderful the end of the story. Deuteronomy 32 is also a song. The previous chapter tells us that it was a song that Jehovah gave to Moses to teach the children of Israel. And I suppose the tone of the song is different to the song in Exodus 15. It starts well and it ends well. But what we have in the middle is human responsibility. What we have in the middle is the fifth day. We see the prophetic history of the children of Israel in review. And the sorrow. Jehovah tells of his sorrow at their departure from him. Their hearts turned aside and they went after other gods. This chapter shows us what we learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 2, that behind those idols there were demons, and that this is the devil working. God is working. God is working with his people. He has a purpose concerning them, but the devil is trying to frustrate that purpose. He can't change the end. Thank God. We've been able to sing of that. So we need dependence on the Lord, of course, but we need more than that. We've read of the fact that God is the rock, and we know that there is absolute stability in relation to everything that's connected with that rock. And thank God, you and I, by infinite grace, have been brought to Christ, who is that rock for us. But Jehovah says in verse 39, "See now that I am he, that I am the same. And there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal." And I suppose that God, practically speaking, would bring us into the place of death. Into the place where we are at an end. To a place where he can come in with life. I kill and I make alive. And how wonderful that is. That in all the difficulties of the way, if we take this place before him, we can be certain that he will lift us up in the power of that life that we have in his Son. He would help us to be here for him. I suppose that in the context of the chapter, we have in the second half of verse 21, "I will move them to jealousy with that which is not a people, with a foolish nation will I provoke them to anger." We have, as Romans 10 makes clear, the end of the chapter, the setting aside of the nation because of its rejection of Messiah, which we don't have in Deuteronomy 32. And we have the bringing in of the Gentiles. So we have the Gentiles, the church that formed the church. Here in verse 21, at the end of the chapter, we have Israel and the nations brought into blessing. All this resting on the faithfulness of our God, the one who is always the same. I read the verse in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Because in Deuteronomy 32 we have the big picture, this prophetic history of Israel right through to the time of the kingdom. We have God's dealings with his earthly people, his dealings with them in government. And we see in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2 how this government of God, this government of Jehovah with his earthly people affects even a young godly sister. He would have us feel what he feels. And Hannah goes up to Jerusalem to pray there. We know what she went to pray about. She was in exercise, in deep spiritual exercise, and there were those near to her who caused her bitterness of spirit. She goes up into the temple and she prays. And Eli, who more than any other should have had spiritual discernment, thinks she's a drunkard. But she pours out her soul to the Lord. She takes this place of death. There was the deadness of her womb. And she realizes that Jehovah is dealing with her, is showing her something. She makes it a matter of prayer. And how wonderfully the Lord answered her prayer, giving her Samuel as a son. And in her prayer of thanksgiving in chapter 2, one of the things she says in verse 6 is, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up." And that was exactly what she had experienced in her own soul. The remark was made during the course of one of the readings that the Lord is in control of our circumstances. But he's dealing with us. He wants us to feel our weakness. He wants us to take this place of death. To be that low before him. And if we do in reality get that low, we can be sure, we can be absolutely sure that he'll come in and raise us up. And we'll know the reality of his working amongst us. We'll know the reality of his increase. There'll be blessing. I read Psalm 102. Because our Lord, in a particular way, experienced these circumstances. He says, "Thou hast raised me up, thou hast cast me down." God had raised him up as Messiah in Israel, and at his baptism he took his place at the head of that repentant remnant. Everything seemed set fair for the introduction of the kingdom. But as Matthew's Gospel in particular shows us, presented to the responsibility of the people for their reception, we find that he's rejected. We saw it in John 6 as well, when he knew that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed. Because there wasn't the moral state. That would have made it possible for him to take that place at that time. And God was taking account of all that was happening. And the time came when the one that had raised him up as Messiah cast him down as Messiah. And we know that the Lord Jesus was cut off, having nothing. He didn't even have clothes. And here in Psalm 102, the Lord Jesus feels all of this and articulates it in his prayer to God. "He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, my God, take me not away in the midst of my days." And able brethren have pointed out that at this point, the speaker changes. And Messiah below is answered by Jehovah above. "Thy days are from generation to generation. Of old hast thou founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou continuest, and all of them shall grow old as a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same." and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall abide, and their seed shall be established before thee. And now over in Hebrews 13. The Lord Jesus showed himself to be the same to Israel. There are other references in the Old Testament. You know there are references in Nehemiah 9, in the prayer that we get there, where twice in the course of the prayer, he's referred to in the prayer as the same. And he's the same when there is recovery, when there is a returning to the Lord, we find him to be the same. But here in Hebrews chapter 13, remember them which have the rule over you. Remember your leaders who have spoken to you the word of God, and considering the issue of their conversation, imitate their faith, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and to the ages to come. This one who was the same for Israel is the same for us, his Christian people. They were directed to remember those who had been their leaders, who had faithfully spoken to them the word of God, and to recall what the bent of their lives had been. And the bent of their lives was Christ, the one that they, by faith, had followed. And we are exhorted to follow them in relation to that faith that they exercised in the Lord Jesus. We know that things change as the years go by. An elderly sister wrote to me recently, and she said, the meetings are not what they used to be. And that's true. The first conference I ever went to was at Kilkeel in 1971. And the second conference here, September 1971. And there was rank upon rank upon rank upon rank of able brethren. Men who faithfully spoke to us the word of God, and we can all remember them, and we remember them with thanksgiving to God. But what they taught us was the value of keeping the eye on Christ, the one who never changes. Having him as our object And the fact that we have him as our object and that we are following him will be something that is manifested in our lives, something that is apparent. Brethren, that we have known in the past and who are now with the Lord, have known this one as the same. We can know him as the same at the present time. And I read the verse again at the end of Hebrews chapter 1. Really to underline the fact that this one is the same forever. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. When the present heavens and the present earth pass away, there is that one who is the same, our precious Lord, the one to whose name it is our privilege to gather, the one who still would be in our midst, the one who still, in all the circumstances of our time, would say peace and show us his hands and side.